I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Investigators say they've solved a murder that happened in Farmers Branch 2 months ago.
The case now involves the violent Venezuelan gang known as Tren de Aragua, and the victim was apparently a member. Three people have been arrested, a fourth is on the run. The murder was strange from the start. A man and two teens were kidnapped from an apartment on Fair Oaks Crossing in Dallas August 24th. Farmers Branch Lieutenant Terry Eoff told us then how the crime became their problem.
They were driven to Farmers Branch, where the victim was shot and subsequently died. The two juveniles were then taken up to Louisville.
They were not harmed. Now police say the victim, Nilzalt Pettit, was killed by the other four gang members. All were part of an ATM theft gang, and police now believe the gang felt Pettit was shortchanging them on some of their stolen cash. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
A deadly house fire and explosion in Van Alstine early this morning. That's in far northeast Texas, just north of Anna. Apparently, several fire departments got the call around 1:30 a.m. about flames shooting through the house and also the sound of an explosion. The Gunter Fire Department tells us there are no hydrants in that area, so it made it a little bit more difficult for crews to fight that blaze. They had to actually shuttle water in from the nearest fire hydrant and use a drop tank. We're also told that the fire and explosion actually leveled two-thirds of a house. The fire department tells us this was deadly. There are several reports. Two people at least were killed. Crews are working to figure out what caused it.
New info this afternoon on a wrong-way wreck in Fort Worth over the weekend that killed five people.
It's the chilling account of a witness who says she narrowly avoided getting hit by a wrong-way driver early Sunday morning.
And when we realized he was coming towards us, it was just so fast. I just can't describe it. It just happened so fast in 1 second, literally 1 second.
Moments later, a horrifying scene along westbound Loop 820 just before the Azle Avenue exit in Fort Worth. Police say the wrong-way car with a family of four smashed into a pickup truck with a young couple inside. All four people in the car, believed to be a mother, father, and two minors, died trapped inside the burning car. Chelsea Cook, a passenger in the pickup truck, was killed. Her fiancé, Evan, seriously injured. The victim's mother says they were heading home after his band performed at a Halloween party. They'd just gotten engaged 3 weeks ago in New Mexico. Chelsea's mom says the 33-year-old was bubbly, artistic, and loved her dogs. Her fiancé remains in the ICU.
That is Maria Guerrero reporting. Still no word on the IDs of the family that died or what led the person behind it, the whole thing, to drive away.
A student has now been arrested after bringing a gun on a North Texas high school campus.
It happened today at Fossil Ridge High in the Keller ISD. According to letters to parents, a student was identified as a person that had brought a gun on the campus. The student was located and a classroom hold was initiated while police and security teams searched the campus. The discarded gun was located and the student was taken into custody. The letter claims that a fellow student was the one who told security about the student and gun, and are praising him for his quick action in alerting staff. The hold was in place for close to an hour before classes resumed on a normal schedule. From the 24-hour news center, Austin York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Less than a week of early voting left. A lot of us have already cast our ballots. Texas Secretary of State says almost 29% of us had voted through Sunday. That's 25% in Dallas County. Judge Clay Jenkins says you can check DallasCountyVotes.org for sample ballots.
On there, you can see all the places where you can vote, and you can look at a map as to whether that place is green, which means you'll be in and out in 20 minutes or less, yellow, which means it would take up to 40 minutes, and red, which means it would take over 40 minutes.
Dallas County is expanding early voting hours, running from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. today and tomorrow, and then 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday through Friday. Early voting across the Metroplex runs through Friday.
Now, some people think they have to choose between doing work and going to vote, but that's not the case in Texas and 27 other states. The law says your bosses have to let you have some time off during a workday under certain conditions. In Texas, if the polls are open 7 to 7 on election day and you work 9 to 5, you don't get the time off because you can vote in the 2 hours before work or the 2 hours after work. But if you work 7 to 7, that worker has to get paid time off to vote. Companies can also tell workers when it's a good time to go vote during the workday as long as it's reasonable. Again, this only applies to election day itself, not to early voting.
Dallas Cowboys are 3-4 on the year after a loss last night.
That's a bad 3-4.
To the 49ers. It is.
It might as well be 1-6.
I don't know how they beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Still, Pittsburgh looks good.
Shocked about that. Our Cowboys insider Bobby Belty's with us right now to talk about last night's 30-24 loss, in which the Cowboys actually had the lead at halftime for a change, but then they blew it. That was just an awful third quarter, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, they get outscored 21-0 there in the third quarter. They get outgained by over 150 yards. They don't pick up any first downs in the third quarter. San Francisco picks up 10. It was just brutal performance for them there in the third, and that was really the difference in the game, because like you mentioned, they were in the lead at halftime, 10-6, but it still felt like a game when you were watching it where it was like, yeah, but how long is this really going to last? Because San Francisco is going to hit some of this soon. And so that's exactly what happened. And now the Cowboys are kind of stuck here with a 3-4 record after a 30-24 loss that, you know, similar to the record you guys were just talking about, that 30-24, it makes it look much nicer than it actually was last night.
All right, I've been looking. Dak just seems off. What do you think is his biggest issue right now, Bobby?
You know, he's not playing well. I mean, just flat out, this has been his worst season of his career so far that we've seen. The question comes down to, okay, is this, you know, an offensive-wide problem? And then, you know, everybody struggling is causing an entire unit to look really poor. Are there limitations in terms of what they want to do with the game plan? Is there something, you know, mechanically wrong with Dak? I think the biggest thing that this comes down to is he doesn't trust his protection right now. With two young offensive linemen there in the group, he doesn't trust them to protect and, you know, be able to run a lot of the concepts that they had a lot of success with at the end of last year. So I think head coach Mike McCarthy, he is in favor of kind of scaling some things back with the young players in there. And when they've tried to push some things a little bit, I think Dak has found himself a little, you know, gun shy about what his offensive line is able to do for him. So I think that's a big part of it. So any sort of growth and progress we see from the rookies, Tyler Guyton at left tackle and Cooper Beebe at center, I think would go a long way to kind of easing everybody's stress levels and stop Dak from pressing so much.
How about this little dust-up after the game with Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie of Channel 8, who I guess tweeted something negative about him, and Trayvon took offense?
Yeah, I mean, Trayvon has been known to take offense to things, you know, throughout his career here in Dallas. And this one stuck in his craw a little bit. I guess he got in the locker room, saw that he had been tagged in it, and so we're all kind of standing outside, and doors come swinging open, and he wasn't happy with Mike Leslie, and, you know, told him, you know, you can't do what I can do, and used a number of expletives, and it was a little bit of an ugly scene, but I think just speaks to the frustration that exists for everybody in that locker room right now, from players to coaches to, as we've seen in recent weeks, the owner and general manager. And so I think that Trayvon Diggs is just another outpouring of that frustration that they're clearly dealing with right now.
We know that this schedule is brutal over the next 4 weeks specifically. Is there any way this team turns this around? Do you see any hope in this at all?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They are just not a good football team right now. And, you know, I think the biggest hope for them is they get some of this health back. You know, Deron Bland gets healthy at corner. You get Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence back at some point. Marshawn Nealand, their second rounder, comes back. That all helps out the linebackers. I think that makes you feel better about the defense. For the offense, it's just going to be a symptom of those young guys, like we talked about, growing. And offensive line, to be fair, is a unit that tends to progress as the year goes on. The worst version of your offensive line is usually the first 4 weeks, and then it slowly gets better as they, you know, become a little more cohesive. So I would say your greatest hope on offense is just time on task, and your greatest hope on defense is getting back some of these guys who have been hurt. And if you can get that, then you might be able to salvage the season. But right now, it doesn't look likely, because this is a team that has struggled so much with their preparation, their execution, and at times their effort level.
Was Jerry at the game last night?
He was at the game last night, yes.
The eternal optimist, Jerry Jones. What did he have to say afterwards? Anything?
No, he has not typically in the last few years spoken on the road. He used to speak after every road game. That shifted a little bit in the COVID era, and I think we've caught him twice in the last several years, but he'll be on with us on 105 through the Fan tomorrow at 8:30.
Yeah, that was leading into that. That could be interesting. 8:30 tomorrow morning on the Fan. Bobby, thanks so much. Really appreciate the time. That is Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Of course, Bobby with 105.3 The Fan, our sister station upstairs.
That's just such a bad look. You got the general manager, owner, going after the 105.3 The Fan guys. You got Trayvon Diggs coming out taking shots at the media for, oh, you don't play football. Of course we don't play football. I've never played in the NFL. Nobody has. But now everyone can tell your team stinks right now, and your effort is part of the reason.
Yeah. This is, as Bobby said, it speaks to the frustration.
There's a lot of frustration.
It's not just the fans who are frustrated. These guys have to be frustrated, too. Interesting meme this morning I saw. Dak Prescott now makes almost as much in one quarter as Brock Purdy makes in an entire season. And Brock Purdy is 3-0 lifetime against Dak.
You know, Bobby brought up the point of protection, and I agree with that. He does seem to have some problems with the protection. It's not always there, but he just doesn't seem to be seeing the field well. He's making some throws.
Terrible.
And you're going,
terrible.
What are you doing, man? Even the ones that weren't intercepted. Yeah. They were in the hands of defenders that just, they were like, I guess they thought, wow, this is a gift, and dropped it. But what are you looking at? And we heard this over and over. And then you have Troy Aikman saying they run bad routes.
Yeah.
And which are sloppy routes, and they don't really run them if they're not expecting the ball. So that, therefore, you know, the one that's running hard.
Just a lot of it. I hate to say this because Trayvon's probably going to get mad at me, but there's some laziness.
There does. I don't want to use the word lazy, but it definitely does appear that way.
Yeah.
When you're just half-assing it out there.
World Series underway. What better time to check in with Bob Uecker, who is now 90 years old and still kicking. CBS correspondent Jim Wertheim. We sat down with a man they call Mr. Baseball.
In six undistinguished seasons as a catcher in the majors, Bob Uecker never played an inning for the Brewers.
Get up and get out of here, gone!
But during a half century as the team's play-by-play announcer,
the throw, he's in there, three-bagger.
He's become equal parts mayor and mascot in the city of his birth, all the while declining offers from bigger markets, laying off pitches, as it were.
We heard George Steinbrenner came trying to recruit you in the 80s, and you said, no, I'm good here in Milwaukee.
Steinbrenner sent a couple of people out to talk to me about joining the Yankees.
Trying to poach you.
Yeah, but I loved Milwaukee and, you know, born and raised here.
Uecker began his major league career in 1962 with the Milwaukee Braves before the franchise moved to Atlanta.
I was the first player from Milwaukee to ever be signed by the Braves. I was also the first Milwaukee native to be sent to the minor leagues by the Braves.
If Uecker's on-field inadequacies hampered his playing career, they provided some of his best material in a lengthy and lucrative second career as an actor and comedian.
Mr. Baseball, would you welcome Bob Uecker?
Employing a bone-dry wit, he made more than 40 appearances on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
I did Tonight Shows, you know, whenever they wanted.
Give me as fast as you can all the teams you've ever played with.
Braves, Cardinals, Phillies, and the Braves again. Then in June, I was with...
The Carson guest spots led to a series of notable TV commercials.
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
As well as a starring sitcom role.
Ah, nice hands, 47.
Yeah, I could have caught that one.
Let's not go crazy, Kev.
And perhaps most memorably...
Hello again, everybody.
everybody. Harry Doyle here welcoming...
The role of the perpetually blitzed announcer in the Major League movies.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
He's just uniquely funny.
Before serving 16 years as baseball's commissioner, Bud Selig owned the Brewers, and in 1971 hired Uecker, misguidedly, as a scout.
He says he wasn't much of a scout.
Legitimately true. There were mashed potatoes on the damn scouting report. I couldn't read it. He couldn't read it.
You had mashed potatoes on your scouting report. We got to find a new line of work.
That's
for you.
Exactly right.
Selig moved Uecker to the Brewers broadcast booth later that year.
No doubt about that, baby.
But for all the stardom, all the gigs and gags, the late-night laughs at his own expense...
He fancies himself still a player.
Yeah.
Do you sense that?
Oh, yeah. He lets us know about his catching days.
Brewers pitcher Brandon Woodruff.
He's one of us. He's part of the team, and I think that's why we embrace him so much, is that he's on this ride with us, and that's what makes it cool.
You know, I played the game, so I know how hard it is. I know how tough it is to play this game.
You still have a bond with these guys out here that doing it.
Absolutely. The game celebrations when we win, that's a big part of it, man.
Celebrating on the field, celebrating in the stands.
To be able to walk into that clubhouse and be with them.
But baseball is cruel, and in Milwaukee, celebrations are short-lived. Earlier this month, with the Brewers just two outs from winning the wild card, the New York Mets came from behind on a dramatic home run.
Deep warning track and gone.
On the radio, Uecker didn't hide the hurt.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
The Brewers' first World Series title will have to wait. There's speculation that the heartbreaking loss may have marked Uecker's last game as an announcer. But as his 91st birthday nears, the man they call Mr. Baseball told us he doesn't want to imagine his life without it.
I don't know what I would do, you know, with no more baseball for me. I don't know what that would be like. You know, I got out of high school and I joined the Army and I signed a baseball contract. That's been it, really.
So long, everybody, from American Family Field here in Milwaukee.
CBS correspondent John Wertheim said that he was on Carson, they said, 40 times. Basically, the Brewers would go out there and play the Dodgers twice a year, and each time, every time that they went to L.A.,
oh man,
he'd be on Carson.
You could just sit there and listen to him tell stories, and he would always tell the funniest stories in that way. And we were talking off the air. Major League, if you watch that movie and just listen to some of his, he has so many throwaway lines that are hilarious that I'm sure he is ad-libbed in there. I don't know if they wrote him anything.
Harry Doyle. The World Series itself, Game 3 tonight, New York. They had the first two in L.A. Dodgers won both of them. Thank you, Freddie Freeman, for Game 1.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.